There were always two people in Scripture that I always loved as a kid. One was Noah, and I know everybody in this room who's ever been to church or Sunday school knows the story of Noah, those animals two by two. And I always tell people the reason I liked it was, number one, Noah listened to the voice of God in the middle of everything when everybody told him, what are you doing, Noah? And he's building the boat, and everybody laughs at him, and he keeps building the boat, and they keep laughing till the day it rains. I've always stopped and looked how God speaks to people. I remember the prophet of God who one day goes to the backside of nowhere. The prophet's trying to find God, and everything has gone wrong, he feels like. And all at once, he's listening for the voice of God, and a tornado comes by, a hurricane comes by, an earthquake takes place. Everything happens. And finally, he's listening to all of that, trying to hear and thinking God's going to speak to him out of this great storms and out of the earthquake, when the Word of God says that God spoke to him that still, small voice. When God spoke to me in that still, small voice, after I argued with God, you know, and said, God, I'm still a practicing homosexual. This can't be you, God. You can't love me. How many of us have done that number? Amen. Right. It took me 3 months before I woke up and realized, well, if God loves me as a gay person, God has to love other gay people too. Amen. Yeah. The first service of this church, my goodness gracious, October the 6th, 1968, come here, Reverend Troy Perry gave my home address, and my roommate had a heart attack, you know. He said, you are crazy. You've taken out an ad in a gay newspaper giving our home address and your real name. And I always, you know, I was really stupid, you know what I mean? But I'd made up my mind. I'd said to my mother used to get on to me, why do you have to tell everybody you're homosexual? I said, Mama, because they asked. Amen. And I said, everybody wants to know, and I'm not going to lie anymore. And I just quit it. Amen. And you know, when I quit lying, my life became so much better. Amen. When you know you don't have to lie anymore, woo, what it does to you. Amen. June the 28th, 1970. I'm telling you, went in the suit against the city of Los Angeles, living to see them put the new bronze plaque up on Hollywood Boulevard at the corner of Hollywood McCadden Place. And when we won the lawsuit, we won on Friday, and our parade was to be on Sunday, and we really didn't have a parade planned. And we said, my God, I said, we've got to get on the telephone to every gay lesbian organization in this city, in Southern California, tell them to come march with us. And I've got to tell you, we did march. And it was amazing to me that Sunday. It is always so precious in my mind when I look back over it and think about it. My goodness, we told people, look, if you don't have a float, if you're not with an organization, I want you to bring your pets. We'll have a pet section and you can march with your pets. And you know what? People showed up with their birds in cages, and you know. That was led by a young man walking an Alaskan husky with a great big sign on both sides that says, we don't all walk poodles. And ended up in Time Magazine, amen, you know. Here it was. We had a leather group, amen. You know, I got to tell you. And it wasn't many. There were only 5 guys on their motorcycles. And the one that led the group, he had a scar on his face. I don't know how he got it or anything, but he looked butch. He looked mean. He did not, quote, look what the world would have thought as a homosexual until they saw he was wearing pink high heel shoes with his motorcycle all the way down the boulevard to make a point, amen. We had, you know, gay Republicans, amen, from Orange County, amen. And they had a great big sign, homosexuals for Ronald Reagan. I heard one young woman saying, forgive them for being gay, but never for being for Ronald Reagan. She said, I'm sorry. We had something for everybody, and we marched, amen. And the world has never been the same. Amen. The world has never been the same. January 73, I received a telephone call. I'm in Denver, Colorado, that I had to rush home. The LA church was on fire. And I remember flying back, and it was the first building we owned. And when I got down to 22nd Union, the building there in ruins, and I always tell people, this is the truth. I can't help it. We had worked so hard. It was our first piece of property ever owned by a gay lesbian organization in the world. And there was our piece of property. and it's burned, and I couldn't help it. I broke down, and I started crying. Willie Smith, who is our minister of music, whose home MCC started, walked up and put his arms around me. And he said, Troy, people are expecting you to be, show leadership now. And he said, you've really got to get over this. He says, my God, he said, I want to tell you something, Troy. He said, the church didn't burn down. The building did. We're the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. Has nothing to do with the building. It's about us, what we do with the gospel. And my goodness gracious, that Sunday morning, we gathered in the streets, and I didn't know if anybody would come. Our people were still very closeted back then. I wasn't, but they were, some of them. And we didn't know. The burned-out building can't keep TV away from you, and 1,000 people showed up that morning. We had service in the streets. Singing group, God Bless Our Heart, showed up and told Willie, well, I'll sing if y'all run microphones over into the tent where nobody will see us. And Willie Smith, being Willie Smith, said, Queen, the closet has burned down. That's the end of it. Either you sing in public or you don't sing anymore. Amen. And they sung that morning. Amen. They came out of the closet. When I stop and I look at that little small still voice and how God does stuff, it's amazing to me. I've learned a long time ago, you got to be, you know, you got to listen to God. You got to listen to God when you're afraid. Listen for that still small voice. Our church was set on fire in Atlanta 3 times in 1 week. By the time I got there, it was Easter weekend. I was going there to preach anyway. Oh, my goodness, we were all over the Atlanta Constitution, everything, because somebody kept, they'd done $25,000 to religious artwork around the walls and had taken red paint and put it in our communion wear and dripped it over the altar. And I said, not our battle anymore. This is God's battle. Amen. They've just taken sacred things, as far as I'm concerned, and they've done something they shouldn't have done. And oh, I can remember, you know, here's the TV camera crews all out in front of the church. We're getting ready for Easter services. People are frightened. You could cut it with a knife. Finally, the pastor said, I want you to open with prayer and, you know, ask God to protect us this morning. We processed then. I got up. I said, Lord, I hope you'll send your angels this morning to protect us. We need your protection, oh Lord. And I got to tell you that as we went on with service, during the next hymn, all at once, the usher started waving at Jimmy, Brock, and I. We go to the back room. Here's this woman standing there. I mean, close cut hair, black t-shirt, combat boots, and you know, military pants on. Stuck her hand out. She's a Reverend Perry. I'm so and so. I'm the president of AFA, she said, the Atlanta Lesbian Feminist Alliance. And she said, I want to tell you something. She said, now, the women in my group don't go to church, but we've been watching what's been going on with y'all on television. And I brought 40 dykes this morning who have surrounded this church. If anybody tries to mess with you, she says, we're going to have problems. Now, I didn't know angels were lesbians in combat boots. Amen. But that morning they were for us, amen. Listen to the voice of God when you know you're right. That's the hardest time. Once you're right, you think, well, I know it all. I know how to do this. But that's when you really need to listen to the voice of God. I received a letter. Dear Reverend Perry, the National Conference of Catholic Bishops would like to invite you to be a part of His Holiness's visit to America. And we want to invite you to bring another member of your denomination with you. And I'm going to tell it, Nancy. And immediately I said, the bishops need to see some women in ministry. The person I'm going to take with me is a woman. And I called Nancy and I said, I want you to go with me. We were to process in, you know, with His Holiness, be there for His service. So we were there with John Paul II and Cardinal Ratzinger. And Nancy, she can tell you, we have medals that were given to us. I had mine framed. The new Pope gave me one. Amen. Amen. Opus Dei, oh God, keep making on me. I don't know. But I got to tell you, when she and I, we didn't know what to expect. We knew we were right. And we said, well, we're going into their house. We're not going to, you know, we're not going to disturb their worship, but we're going to wear a little button. And our little button said, Universal Fellowship of Metropolitan Community Churches, God is greater than AIDS. Amen. You got to remember, this was in the 80s. I've got to tell you something, though. She and I went into that room. We couldn't have been treated any nicer by the Catholic bishops. We've got to say that. They were just extremely, extremely friendly. But the Protestant clergy, they're the ones who gave us the problems. they would come over and look at our butt and says, let's see what it says. God is greater than AIDS. One of them said to me, really nasty, and I've been not known for discretion sometimes when people get in my face. I ask forgiveness of the Lord daily for this, but I will not put up with what I consider somebody trying to put me down or try to do something. So I'm like most gay men and lesbians in this room. We're quick-witted. We come right back with something, and this guy came up to me and said, how did you get in the room? I said, through the front door. They couldn't know you. Who invited you here? Now, he's invited guests just like I am. I put up with that for about 30 seconds, and I said, let me explain it to you language. Maybe you'll understand. The Catholic Church, the mother church of Christendom, has invited all the bastard children back. They don't care if you're a straight bastard or a gay one. We're all welcome here today. Amen.
Amen.
He ran away from me. Amen. I tell you today, on this 37th anniversary, thank you, everybody. Thank you for your support over the years. Thank you for praying for me. Thank you for marching with me. I'm finishing by telling you this one more time. Whatever you do, always listen to that still, small voice of God, and we'll all be all right. God bless you this morning.